We are jumping right in with another episode. Welcome back to After Hours with Amanda podcast. If you're new here, welcome. If not, you know the drill. Okay. On a side note, I'm going to put my phone on do not disturb because I don't want to be disturbed. Okay. We have a lot to talk about. First off, can I please just get the intro music that I had created specifically for this? That is such a bop. Oh my gosh, maybe I can play it for you. Hold on. I'm going to find it for you because I am going to figure out how to upload it. So it's just the intro to every episode. Oh my gosh. Also, Aloe, if you're watching this, you're going to see this. Look how cute. Are you kidding me right now? I want to sleep in that. I want to wear that cardi during cold weather. Okay. Like, so cute. And then look at this. They have this new like loungewear. I'm dead. I want it right now, but we're waiting. We're waiting. Okay. We're pacing ourselves. So hold on. I'm going to find this music for you, but wow, it has been, wow. Since we talked last week, but truly, honestly, I feel like I've lived a lifetime since last week's episode. I feel like my mom's birthday came and went and took me out this year, straight up took me out. And I had not realized the fact that I literally had not grieved. In a real way. And that's not what today's episode is about. Like, that's not quite the focus of it. Like, it's not grief, but I really want to talk about why I think this year was so hard. And in the emotional management department, like where we saw some opportunity for ourselves. Do you know what I mean? And just being gentle with ourselves. So hold on. I'm going to look this up right now because I had this amazing, like, I want to call her an artist because she truly was an artist. Her name was Allison, and she helped me create the music for the podcast. And I have never interacted with someone. I mean, I've interacted with talented people, but talent at this level where you are just able to do this and create a song. Is this the one? Is this my music? I think this is it. So this is what the intro is going to sound like. Are you ready? Okay. I think this is it. There were a couple options, but I think I'm looking at the email. I'm like, was this the one? Okay. Hold on. Here it is. Is it actually going to play loud enough though? Cause let me turn it up. Hold on. Don't you love this? It sounds like something, but it's not that. Okay. Can you just imagine that at the beginning of every episode? And then we have an outro, okay? Because an intro and an outro, by the way. Do you hear that trumpet take off? Okay, like, it's a bop, okay? It's a straight up bop. And she helped me create that. So it's so vibey. It's so good. I will think of the podcast when I hear this music. And that was the whole goal. But also, we are heading into warm weather this week. And then we're getting cold again next week. So I'm taking advantage of, like, sleeveless tops currently. I've got on like these cute Abercrombie jeans. Look, I'm gonna get it real quick. Look at this. They're cute with like give me this. Always feels like Calvin Klein to me. Like a white shirt and jeans will forever be 1990s to me. I never get old, like tired of it. It never gets old. So yeah, there's just so much. And so today's episode, oh my gosh, wait, before we dig in, last night was our first year coaches meeting. I cannot believe I'm saying it was so excited. The women that are a part of this community are just phenomenal people. They are so incredible. They're so just achieved in who they are as humans. I'm not even talking about like their big girl jobs. I'm not talking about what they do. There's such an array of human beings, and I feel so lucky to get to interact with them in my group, in the other groups, and like the collaborative team effort. It just brings joy to my soul. I love being around that in a sense. And so they're all super passionate too, and they're there for the tiny people, and it just seeps through in everything that they do. Like, that is their goal. There's not like a, it just doesn't feel like there's a personal ego. Do you know what I mean? Like, it feels like everybody is there for the betterment of the tiny people. And I am beyond here for that. So like, that was amazing. We have a clinic next week. You guys, I'm going to literally be clenching my butt cheeks next Friday when it's tryouts. We have to do this again. We're doing this again. We're doing this again. And you know what? Like I told the tiny queens, two of them have to try out. Okay. The clinics are full. They do not take all the kids. Okay. The tryouts require cuts. Like even, and I'm not talking about like a 5 to 7. I'm talking like 15 to 20 deep cut. Okay. So like I said to the Tiny Queens, I said, look, you guys are amazing. Everything that you do, you leave it on the mat. But at the end of the day, if this is not your year, we work, we come back. And if we want to try again, we do. And if not, it's going to open another door. So I will literally be sweaty pits, clenched butt cheeks. I can't. That stuff as a parent, that is what really brings me to my knees, because thinking of them and their passion, I wouldn't qualify myself as like a sports parent, because I really don't honestly, if they want to stop and do something different, I'm going to be like, yeah, do that, because I just don't want their identity becoming fully wrapped in this, because sports injuries and kids injuries are so intense. But I also want their identity to have a place here, like a part here, because the community that they're in is so great and both of them have had great experiences. We will see. I know for sure one is going to try out. We will see if the other one after clinic is filling it. Again, this is their journey of life, and I'm not here. I have hair in my mouth. I'm not here to pick that for them. I'm here to facilitate and guide that. And then that's just like my MO. That's my MO. And that's not everybody's. And I'm cool with that. You do you, boo-boo. But like, that's what I'm here for. I want to facilitate your journey as a human being on the road, the path that we're on together. Okay. And like, let's figure it out. Let's not make it too deep here in sense of we end up with a 16-year-old that really truly feels like their life has ended if something happens. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot to put into that. I mean, teenagers, man, they deal with so much. They don't get enough credit, and they also get terrorized with just being human. Like, people literally want to fault them for being human. And I'm like, just because you're a 20-year-old and you can keep that inner voice to yourself more often than not, please do not, like, I don't know, like, just come down on these people that are learning in a really hard stage of life when they're competing with everything in their body and the hormones and everything. Like, please cut them some slack. Like, be cool. Like, just be cool. And I'm not saying like be the cool mom. I'm saying like be the cool human that cuts them some slack. So that's what we're looking at right now. Also, I got a new Stanley and I didn't need it. Okay. That's not why I bought it, but I bought these stickers. So I bought this one. It says born in the 1900s. Cause if you're going to say it, I'm going to claim it. Okay. Then we have Life in Plastic. It's fantastic. Okay. I mean, come on. It's an ode to Barbie. The Olsen twins, babe. Done. That's period sentence. Okay. Lizzie McGuire, the cartoon. Okay. And then the queen, All Hail Dolly. Okay. Like, get out of here with that. She's the queen. So I literally saw it the other day and I was like, I was in between a neutral color. And then I thought, Amanda, don't go neutral. Okay. We got enough neutral in our life. I rarely wear color. I'm in neutrals all the time. It's just how I feel best. So we have kicked things off. I want to talk about last week. I feel in a place ready to share, because it was really a week of realizing that for a really long time, and I said this in the video last week on TikTok, my mom wasn't on vacation. And I think that they talk about this in grief. They talk about this idea that, oh, the person's just on vacation. Like, they're just, you know, and that's truly how I imagine them. Oh, I haven't talked to them in a while. Probably, you know, life is busy. They're probably busy too. You know, like you compartmentalize and you set it to the side. And, you know, we've talked about Adam and the grief of an addict and what that looks like. And I have to tell you, when you guys tag me in your stories with the podcast, when you DM me, and I really do try, I'm trying to get better setting aside time for the DMs, because I'm so honored that you're sharing part of your life with me and you're sharing part of your journey. It is such an honor, and I do not take it lightly when you send me these messages about your grief and about your life, and even just about like loss that hasn't happened yet, right? Like loss that we anticipate to happen. It really touches my soul in a way that I want to hug you. And a lot of people would say Amanda's not typically a hugger, but do you know what I am? I am a like comforter. So I might not be like hugging 24/7, but I'm a comforter. So I'm going to embrace you when I see that joy, when I see that energy that like I want to embrace you in a sense. So a little backstory, my mom, and there's a lot of dynamics that go into this, the relationship that I had with her. She really was an all-encompassing force. And there was a lot of things for her that created a codependency on me. And that is another conversation for another time, because I think it's very hard when someone is gone to talk about things that maybe could have gone differently, because, right, we kind of like sainthood. They become sainted in our eyes, because why would you? I mean, not speak ill of the dead, but really like, come on, right? They did their best. But I think it's really important to also evaluate those things because it helps us to break generational trauma. It helps us to move forward. It helps us to do a little bit more than they did, right? Because we're trying to get better with every generation, right? It's a never-ending thing. They'll never stop getting better because everybody's different and they'll need different things. So I will not give my tiny queen something that they needed, right? And in their journey, hopefully they will take what I've learned in the generational trauma that I've broken that they don't even know is broken, right? And then they'll take that and they'll break it a little further as they go on. And I won't take that personal. I won't act like it's about me because it's not, because they're them and I'm me. We do that as parents, right? We do that as people. We personalize something, right? When someone says, oh, you know, my mom did, you know, X, Y, Z. It's like, oh, well, I did my best, you know, and we get really offended by that. But it's like when you can take it out of that context and you can say to yourself, oh, they're a different human. Their needs are different from me. Like, yes, they came into my life, right? Parents come in all shapes and sizes, right? So say you were, you know, a child came into your life and, you know, you adopted them or they, you know, that kind of thing. It's, it still is the same principle in the sense that, you cared for them. They were yours to take care of, to provide for. And we get really, it's like an offense because we do try our best. But I think when we can kind of take ourselves out of this and say, you know, it's not actually about, you know, me in this situation because they are not me. They might have physical similarities, but they are not me. And I think that if I can give a gift to my tiny queens, it is keeping them separate from me in the sense of letting them be their own. And that's actually kind of like backfired in some ways because there are so many times when I'm like, oh, that'd be cool to, you know, like do this or do that. And I feel almost bad being like, oh my gosh, do you want to kind of like coordinate? And they're really into it. They're like, oh my gosh, yeah, mom, I would love that. Oh, can I get that shirt? Like you have stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like there's a balance, right? There's a balance between me just completely dressing you and making you into a quote unquote mini me, which I really try not to be annoyed with that statement because it does come with such a positive connotation. But when people say, oh, she's like a mini you, I'm like, no. Like she's her, she's herself. There's a lot that goes into that, that I'm not going to take credit for and act like I created this, you know, person on that, like they, she thinks for, you know, but then there's also that side of like, she's part of me and I want her to feel that. Right? There's a balance. So my mom had a different life growing up and we're not going to delve into that because that's just not my story to share at this point in time. At least I don't feel that way. And her journey of life was difficult and it involved a lot of hurt. It involved abuse. I will say that. It involved so much just hurtful things in her life that really, for the spirit that she had, she was very much like a butterfly that got weighed down very early in life. And you know the personalities, they come out and they flit and they flight and they go around. She reminds me so much of Maria in The Sound of Music, right? She's just flitting and flitting around and life really weighed down her wings. And when she passed away, I went back to work a week later. And I was like, this is what we're going to do. Like I left town. First, I left town because there was a trip planned, right? I've talked about this before, which was the best for us. And then I kind of, you know, I moved on and quote unquote moved on. But actually, I just moved around it. See, here's what I didn't realize I had done. And this came up in year 13 of grief. Okay. I managed everything. And last week, and it's interesting, someone DM'd me because I shared in a video, I said, look, I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. And I specify that every time. I'm just sharing with you my journey. I don't have qualifications in the medical field, nor would I say to. And someone DM'd me and I didn't know exactly what she really wanted to accomplish with her DM. It wasn't mean. It was like, oh, thank you for saying you're not an XYZ. You know, depression actually has a lot of things that line up with it. And there's like ways to qualify it. And, you know, I'm a therapist and I really appreciate, you know, because people like they overgeneralize and they overdiagnose and all this kind of info. And I thought, totally, but like also coming and sharing that in my space, like there is no sharing of my medical history. I haven't told you if I've been diagnosed with depression in the past or in the present. I don't go into that, right? We're not breaking out medical files. I'm not one to share medication recommendations, obviously. Like, so it was just an interesting DM, but it brought up this idea of like, I don't think she was her DM again. It wasn't a big DM. It was like a sweet DM. I think she was meaning to be complimentary in the fact that I was not trying to generalize depression, right? as quote unquote laying in your bed. But I think that there is something that we don't focus on, right? When it comes to, at least for me personally, I'll say that this idea of when we move around grief, what that actually is doing to us on a subconscious level for me and on a personal level for me and on a nervous system response, right? Because I just kept moving around that issue. And this doesn't even have to just apply to grief. This can apply to tough things in your life, right? I compartmentalize. I am very good at putting something in a box and scheduling time for it. My therapist and I used to joke. She would be like, you know, you don't, did you, you know, crying, we talk about that stuff. And I'd be like, oh, you know, I probably will actually cry in the shower tonight. It seems like a good time. I've got some time. I need to wash my hair. And that's a time I can be alone and uninterrupted. And I can get to that place where I feel vulnerable enough, right, to let that guard down, right? Because there's no one around to disappoint me because I have to carry this on my own. And it's like, we're scheduling out crying because we don't want to take down the level of vulnerability because we haven't actually allowed ourselves to let that feeling in. We just continue to move around it. I just continue to move around it repeatedly. I'm going to move around this. I don't really need to overly focus on this. I'm grieving, right? I'm sad. That's what grieving is, right? I miss her. That's what that is. And I don't think that it was ever explained to me that when something happens, whether you're grieving a loved one, whether you're grieving a situation that happened to you, whether you're grieving trauma and what that did for your life or how it changed it, I don't feel like anyone ever explained to me that grief is something that involves more than crying, involves more than missing. It's almost like an act. It's almost like a physical thing in its sense. And this last weekend on Sunday, I laid in bed because I was tired, but not in a way that you're mentally tired or physically tired. I was tired in a way that my body was telling me I cannot continue to move around this because my ability to ignore what it's doing and what it's impacting has become so negative to us that our system is shutting down because our nervous system is so tapped. You've drained us at that level that it goes past the physical, it goes past the mental, it goes past the emotional, where we're just shutting down stuff. And regardless if you want to do that, that's what your body has decided it's going to do. And we're just going to decide not to push through that because we have no capability to do that at this point. And, you know, it was wild because I just didn't want to move. And it's not in this really scary way that a lot of people say that everybody gets so uncomfortable when you're like, I just didn't want to get up. I just didn't want to go anywhere. Not that I wanted to cease to exist, but I just wanted everything in that moment to kind of cease. And I just wanted to be left to just exist in it. And Blake was a great partner in this. He took the tiny people. He made sure that, you know, I could have this time where I could shut the door. Because here's the thing. I know when tiny people are young, there's this belief that coming over and taking care of the baby for you and letting you shower is like a break. And we talk about how that's actually not a break. But truthfully, where I'm at in my life, even when my tiny queens are not asking me for anything, they are completely cared for. There is nothing that they are wanting or needing in the moment. There is nothing to anticipate. I am never not anticipating that there is something that's going to be needed. Does that make sense? So if they are physically in the space, if I come up to my room and I shut the door, there is nothing I feel except the shirking of responsibility. And I didn't realize that that was playing into me being able to deal with my grief, right? Because that first year of grief after my mom passed away was just a blur, right? That second year, I'm like figuring it out. By the third year, I was pregnant. And you move into being pregnant and being in this new stage of life and you keep moving, you know, forward and there's other things going on and then this responsibility is there. And I just did not realize that at no point in time did I recognize or check in with the nervous system of it all. And I've been in therapy on and off my whole entire life. You know this. I was in therapy a few years ago with one therapist. I was in therapy recently with a therapist that I love and need to follow up with via email. Really do. But I started to unpack different things, never realizing or really honestly correlating the fact that the physical tired I felt was just this exhaustion of my nervous system and the constant going of it. And people talk about, you know, the mental load that moms carry. But even then, that mental load was distracting to what was actually the weight and anchor of what was happening, at least for me. The mental load of that was a good distraction. I was able to focus on the mental load of what I was taking and focus on those tasks and focus on those needs and focus on what was going on there, completely circumventing the fact that I kept going around this grief and being like, oh, it's that time of the year. It's the day. We'll recognize it. We'll do all the quote unquote self-care things. Let's schedule a massage. Let's schedule a stuff. And it's like, I don't know if it's because I'm in my late 30s. I don't know if you heard me. I burped. I don't know if it's in my late 30s or what it really is, but I'm getting to this place where I'm like, yes, yes. Some days self-care is, honestly, self-care does not feel like getting my nails done. A pedicure maybe, but while I'm there, I'm not enjoying it usually. Getting my nails done, it brings me joy, the designs that I do. Honestly, something, and you're going to, and I say this all the time, and I'm telling you, try it once. Try it once. Try it when you don't have a lot of laundry, because if you have a lot of laundry and then you got to wash clothes because you do this, you're going to be annoyed with yourself. You're just going to be thinking of the task afterwards. Going into a shower fully clothed or going into a pool, don't do shoes. Obviously, don't do shoes. Like, that goes without saying, but I'm going to say it. And don't go where you'll sink. Okay, stay in the shallow end, babe. But going into a shower fully clothed and laying down, even in my shower, I have to prop my feet up. I can't fully lay my whole body out. There is just something about it for me that feels like self-care. It feels like literally taking care of my mental, emotional needs. And I don't know if that's because it feels like very against a social norm. Why would you get into a shower fully clothed? But I find different things that are forms of self-care for me that don't necessarily involve the fact of washing my hair, of doing a skincare, of getting a mask, of getting a facial, which I love all these things of caring for yourself, right? But this other aspect of like, actually, a form of self-care is laying on the sidewalk in the rain. Do it once. Do it once. I'm telling you right now, do it once. Jumping into a pool, going to the ocean and seeing it and touching it and let it touching my feet. Sitting and like staring at a flame in a candle, and someone's like, oh, man, don't tell people to look into the light, right? But like just being what is considered not social norm or abnormal on some level in the world of caring for self-care, getting myself a coloring book and not sharing it if I don't want to. I do end up sharing it though, because I actually like when the tiny humans color with me. But these things of self-care and realizing this last weekend that it looks different. My grief now in my 30s looks different. And that was the other light bulb. Not only had I been going around this grief, not only had I recognized that my nervous system was not being cared for, not only had I recognized that I was using the mental load as a reason to compartmentalize and dissociate, I was utilizing my mental load to dissociate from the grief and continue to go around it. My grief has changed because my age has changed. My life has changed. The tiny people are getting older. Things have changed. My needs have changed. And therefore, the way that I experience grief is not the same. The way that I experienced the grief of my mom looks different now. And it's so weird because we spend so much time, I think, in this world focusing on who am I? What does it mean? What is my purpose? What am I meant to do? Instead of just doing and the results of that, the result of that is who we are and what we do. But we look so hard for this identity. And then we find it, right? We quote unquote find the identity that we can stake, you know, put in that hill and claim, plant our flag on, right? And then life happens and something changes and suddenly we change. And then we're confused all over again because we've lost who we are. But you've never lost who you are because you're on the journey of you, and that's the life journey. You never lose who you are. You just continue to develop. So when we look so hard to plant our flag on this identity, we box ourselves into that being the identity and that being how we are recognized by ourselves. And we don't allow ourselves this freedom to say, actually, oops, stuff's changed. I'm changing again. I am cocooning. I'm going through another cocoon stage and I'm going to come out and it's a different looking butterfly this season. But I'm still me because I'll always be me because the journey is mine. And that like just confuses us. So when we look at it and I say my grief has changed, my needs have changed, I was continuing to try to grieve in the way that I had. And my body was like, I can't grieve like this anymore. I can't grieve like you did in your 20s because life doesn't look like that. I can't take on grief in this way because we can't handle it in this way anymore. And so my body literally just shut down. I didn't want to see anyone. I didn't see my best friend for a week, and that has never happened unless we've been on vacation. I didn't want to talk to her. The act of talking to anyone was so much effort. My dad called. I literally picked up the phone and I said, I'm really not trying to ignore you. I just don't have the energy to talk. Like, the interest level here, and it's not you, Dad, it's me, but the interest level of chatting with you right now just requires so much mental effort that I'm incapable of. I'm incapable of putting out the effort it takes to form sentences right now or give you the conversational person that you're going to need. I can't meet your need, even though you're not telling me you have one. Even though you're calling to check in on me, the responsibility that I feel from you calling to check in on me is too much. Please don't do it. If something is really off, Blake's going to call you. If you are super worried about me, call Blake. Text him. And it comes with it this guilt of, well, I wasn't strong enough to push it through this year. I wasn't strong enough. I'm just weak. Emotionally. And it's that's so stupid. Oh, and if my tiny queens heard me, we don't use the word stupid. They'd be like, oh,
she said stupid.
But it is. It's really dumb. It is really dumb to guilt yourself. But it is just the human experience for me. See, we're not going to get into attachment styles. That's just a conversation for another time. Because getting into what attachment style is just, but mine, and without saying what it is, kind of saying things, is we are just really hyper independent people who are always looking for people to disappoint us. So I have trust issues with everybody. Oh my gosh. And you might be thinking, Amanda, you have trust issues with everybody? You're telling everyone your life story. Yeah. You want to know the big secret about that? It's in a controlled environment where I get to share it, which gives me that sense of feeling like I'm in control of the situation, because for so long I felt so powerless in so many situations and life experiences. I felt so powerless that getting to share feels like I'm getting to share something and it's bringing people joy, but I get to be in control of it and I get to share it. I get to share the story. And there's a lot of empowerment that comes with that. And it brings me so much peace that it brings other people a relation, a similarity, a less alone. Because while I'm sharing with you and you feel less alone, it is empowering me to feel like, not that I'm controlling, but that I have this sense of controlled share, which again, I really do work on being that person that doesn't try to control the outcomes of things. But because I have experienced disappointment so consistently on so many levels, I think when we stop being disappointed, it really helps too. And that's another point. Not just going around the grief, not just realizing your nervous system is shot, not just realizing that the needs that you have of how you grieve anything in life changes with time, not the fact that you don't need to plant your flag on one identity, but realizing that your journey, your entire life is a human experience, right? But learning to be not disappointed in people, because inevitably people disappoint, but not in this really negative way. See, because people kind of, for me, I can set them up for failure really easily. This sounds terrible, but I'm being completely transparent. I can say, hey, XYZ. And if that person is unable to meet that, instead of saying, like, let's use Blake, for example, like he's on a call. Say he's on a call right now. Okay. He's downstairs on a work call, and say, I'm like, hey, I really need a hug right now. I need a hug this very second. I need a hug. And if you truly support my emotional state, you'll come in, you'll give me that hug right now. And it's like, actually, no, you're setting him up for failure. I'm not saying I do this. I do not do this. But this is the example I'm giving. You're setting that person up for failure because you're putting them in an impossible situation where they have to choose between a responsibility that they have no choice in and asking them to do something that they absolutely would want to do and would choose you. But you're making it impossible for you them to choose you because you're making it this standard of like, well, jump through this hoop. If you love me, you'll choose me. You'll choose me because if you want to, you would. And it's like, I would love to, but my boss is on this call and I would love to have a salary that I don't get fired from. And I think that that a lot of times is something that we might subconsciously do and something that I practice not doing, realizing people have a schedule or people have needs and people are going through stuff too. It is so easy to take things personal, right? Someone doesn't answer your text. Oh, it's me. No, maybe they're doing something. Maybe something's going on. Maybe it actually has nothing to do with you. And the point of this is that when we learn to accept that other people have things going on in their lives, and inevitably at some point, I'm going to disappoint someone. I disappointed one of the Tiny Queens the other day. And in the car, I was like, wait, can I start over? Hold on. I actually don't want to do that. Like, I'm going to try harder. And she looked at me and she said, it's okay, Mom. And I said, well, you know, I'm learning. I really am. I'm learning. And she's like, oh yeah, you are. And I'm like, yeah, see, I'm learning. Like, can we learn together on this? I want to do better. I want to be better for you in your experience of life. And, that disappointment can feel very earth-shattering sometimes, right? But when we put people up on a pedestal, it inevitably at some point will come down because humans are flawed, right? I mean, at the end of the day, only the big guy upstairs, all right? The big JC, okay? He, to me, doesn't disappoint, ever. I mean, he never disappoints me. There might be things in life that disappoint me, but they don't correlate to him for me. But people disappointing us, I think when we learn that that is part of the human experience, we can say, this person disappointed me. Maybe they won't do it again. Or maybe I need to look at the track record of the disappointment and see where that falls. But I think that grief really taught me that people were going to disappoint me. Because here's the thing you go through. My mom's birthday comes up. Say someone close to me doesn't remember it, which why would they? It's not their mother's birthday. It's the first one. Secondly, would I want them to remember it? And oh, my tummy's growling. We're going to make lunch after this. Would I want them to remember her birthday and then come to me about that? I don't know. It depends on the moment. Thirdly, if I post that it's her birthday and then they text me after it and that annoys me, is that fair? Or are they just reaching out to be loving and kind and they didn't know and now they know and they want to be there? Do you see how that can kind of play games and how it can kind of set people up for failure? And so in the journey of grief and realizing that people will disappoint, I learned that in the disappointment are things that I can take from that, right? And asking myself, did they disappoint me or would I have even wanted it? Would I have even wanted the recognition of it? Would I even have wanted the text? Would I have wanted any of that? And if the answer is no, why are you holding them to a standard that they've disappointed you? They haven't. They've done exactly what you would have needed. You know what I mean? This year specifically, for Mother's Day, I want to do something different. We do the same kind of like thing every year and it's fun and it's great and it's, and I've loved it. But this year, what I've realized is my grief needs something different. And it's not a personal thing. And I think telling our loved ones, hey, look, actually, my grief needs something different this year. It's not even just about being Mother's Day and me kind of wanting to mix it up. It has nothing to do with that. It's that Mother's Day also brings about my mom. Because even though she's not here, it doesn't mean that I don't still have a mom. Even though I will tell you when you lose a parent, it feels like you've been orphaned, even if there's still one there. It feels like you're an orphan. It feels very confusing. And I think this speaks to the identity again, because we put so much identity in there, a mini me, and there's so many things like this and it's so similar. And then the identity of finding ourselves and what are the similarities, and we need to know who we are. What is our purpose? And it's like, it just makes it so much. It just puts so much pressure on everyone involved to really commit to make that bed and lie in it. Ooh, that saying, I said it today in a TikTok and I actually can't stand that saying. My grandmother used to say it to me all the time. And I shared this with you previously. Can't stand that saying. No, you can pick up and you can change. All right. Even Jesus shook the dust from his feet and left. Okay. So if he did it, so can you. But the point is that in grieving, whatever that may be, and we grieve different things. We grieve things we thought would be. We grieve people we thought would be with us. We grieve experiences we thought we would have, lives we thought we would live, ideas. Okay. We grieve things. And I think in this idea of grief, we need to be okay with it looking different, right? I'm grieving differently at this point in my life. I need something differently at this point in my life. So Mother's Day this year is going to look different. I don't know what we're going to do yet. I don't know what that'll look like. But I know that in order to honor myself and the experience of life that I'm having, I need to do that. I need to honor myself and my mom. Because by honoring that grief and not continuing to sidestep it, I will be able to be another better version of myself as I continue to care for myself on the journey. And in 5 years, it might look a little different then too. But what I realized is by trying to make everybody else comfortable in life, sometimes we contort ourselves. And I said this again in the TikTok today. We are not meant to be Cirque du Soleil. Your life is not meant to be a performer of contortion so you can continue to impress other people for their needs. That is not saying you don't take them into account. That is not saying you can't honor what they have invested and who they are and you should just ignore it. But it is saying that if it comes at the cost of you honoring yourself and those things, and they are fine with that, they're fine with it not being true to you because it is easier for them and provides what they want, that is dishonorable to me. And when it's dishonoring to yourself at the risk of someone being comfortable, that's something we have to look at in any part of life, not just our grief. I feel like we've done so many heavy episodes lately. We've talked about things that to me feel very personal and feel very intimate, but I just some days don't want to come on here and chat about casual because life is not casual a lot of the time right now. Life is big. And some days, yes, I want to talk about the Real Housewives. I just joked. I want to talk about The Real Housewives. I want to talk about Vanderpump Rules. I want to have that episode. We have bestie episodes coming. I have a guest coming up and we're going to talk about stuff and I'm excited to have her here as my very first guest. But I want to spend time with you because life is way too freaking short to not talk about, at least for me, things that I find super important that matter. And at the end of the day, that boils down to you. And if I can share my experience and things like that, I want to share them. Oh my gosh, do you know what I just realized? Have I been recording on my computer this entire time and not my microphone? I just realized that. Oh, I hope this is not going to be a silent episode again. Not a silent, but one where it's not as loud as it could be because you're in the computer. But I think that that's just what I want to kind of leave you with. I want to leave you with this idea that what I felt this week was the biggest blessing and the hardest thing because I couldn't go under it, around it, or through it. This bear hunt, we had to get under the covers and not to ignore it, but to allow our body to absorb it, to feel it, to experience it. We couldn't step around the grief any longer. We couldn't treat her like it was in my 20s. We had to recognize it looked different. We had to stop compartmentalizing it and ignoring it with all the other things that we could say was care, right? The mental load is so heavy, I can't, which I was using personally as an excuse. That mental load was such a good hiding place because with the mental load being so big, how could I take on something else? But then when I asked for help with the mental load, I had to actually experience what was doing that. The recognition of my nervous system, the recognition that self-care is not necessarily these things that, you know, revolve a lot around the physical aspect, right? That self-care can look different. Self-care, honestly, this sounds so crazy, can be spilling something purposefully to watch it spill, even if you have to clean it up. Because spilling something is not something that you do. And it's a standard for me. You've spilled something, what a mistake. But spilling it on purpose, it's almost like aversion therapy. Just telling you. Weird forms of self-care with Amanda. Let me know if you want more. I swear I should make a TikTok about it. Things that I do for self-care. And people are going to be like, you what? The rage comments. And realizing that you're not meant to be a performer in Cirque du Soleil. Okay, you're just not, babe. You're not. And even if it makes your parents happy or your friend happy or your partner happy or your dog happy or whoever, whatever, realize that if it's at the risk of dishonoring yourself, that's not what we want. That's not the vibe. Okay? So I'm going to leave you how I always do. I'm not going to leave you. I'm just going to take a break because I will be back. I'm never leaving you. But look, I'm going to lean in for this. And God willing, did this mic pick up anything? If the episode is quiet, let me know. It's on me. And if you liked it, please feel free to share it with someone that you feel will love it, that you feel it might relate to. And if it speaks to you, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for honoring me with your sharing of your lives. So if no one has told you lately, I love you. I like you exactly the way you are. Do not change for anyone because you are needed and there is only one of you. And that is needed. You have exponential and limitless potential. Okay? You can change your mind. No decision and no regret should hold you captive your entire life. I want to add that, okay? And I love you and I'm so happy you're here. I'm so grateful. I love getting to do this with you. And one day when we're in our studio, wink, wink, it won't change anything. Except someone will probably be editing this better than I do because I literally just click record and don't edit. So don't tell. I love you. I hope you have the best day and I will see you next week.